Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're discussing a new UBS report, Millennials, the Global Guardians of Capital. The study explores the growth in financial and socio-political prominence of the millennial generation, that grouping whose oldest members came of age at the turn of the millennium. Generation Y, as they're also known, were born between 1982 and 1998 and followed the Generation Xers, who themselves preceded the baby boomer post-war generation. We have two very special guests on the programme this week to unpack the theme, including one of the co-authors of the report, which is subtitled At the Intersection of Tech and Wealth. We'll hear what sets the millennials apart, chart the extraordinary wealth transfer that is to define them in the coming years, challenge some preconceptions about millennials' values and priorities, and attempt to better understand the opportunities available to all stakeholders who respond positively to these trends. Let's start with Chris Wright, cross-asset strategist in the wealth management CIO in Zurich, who discusses the Global Guardians of Capital paper. What are some of the key ideas, the aspirations, and the findings of the report? Well, it's about challenging some stereotypes and preconceptions, as Chris explains.
If you're active on social and things, you'll see there's huge amounts that's being currently written about millennials, and we would argue that's being assumed about them as well. And so we challenge some of that by saying that there's lots of things that we assume or stereotype about millennials being narcissistic, being a little bit lazy. Reality is that's the same of every generation when they're younger. They have less responsibilities, they have ambitions and things, and they mature as you go on. So in reality, we would challenge that. The photos you see of everyone on the train, on the tube, on the bus, on their iPhones, not talking to each other, that's not a new phenomenon either. The mode of delivery has changed. We've got photo in the paper which shows what a commuter train in New York looked like in the 50s, and everybody's just got their head down in the newspaper. So the mode of delivery has changed, not what people are actually doing.
So why write the paper and why write it now?
There are certain things about millennials that you need to be aware of, and they're hugely important because they are going to be the beneficiaries of the greatest ever wealth transfer we've seen. So they're already guardians of quite a lot of wealth, around $17 trillion. We think that goes up to $24 trillion by 2020. Then it grows substantially over the next 20, 30 years. And that comes from three ways. It comes from, say, that wealth transfer from their parents, the baby boomers. It comes from the entrepreneurial activity that they're currently engaged in. We know that more and more businesses are being started. This generation is more entrepreneurial. Thirdly, the older millennials are already getting to their mid-30s. They're already coming into higher peak earning years. And so they're your high net worth clients of tomorrow as they enter more executive positions in companies.
How do trends around technology, around automation and connectivity shape this space in Chris Wright's view?
First of all, millennials have grown up with technology. They are the digital natives. But we've got a great chart in the paper which shows that the adoption of technology is getting far and far quicker over time. So, you look at the adoption of electricity or the telephone or the radio historically, and it took a number of years to reach a good proportion of the population. The internet was just a matter of a few years. The number of people using smartphones now is almost everyone. So that has a couple of implications. The first one being that people expect convenience now. And so the traditional ways that you would interact with a company or an organization or even a wealth manager has to change. But we also suggest that people don't want a purely digital offering. The numbers show you that, for example, on banking, millennials use mobile banking far more than baby boomers. But equally, they also visit branches more often than baby boomers. So I think they're just taking more interest in managing these aspects of their lives, and they just want convenience. So you need to deliver your service in a way that is more convenient to the client. And secondly, is this point on connectivity. Move back 10, 20 years. In order for you to know what was going on around the world and any kind of injustice, social inequality going on in the world, you'd have to rely on the BBC or CNN to report that. Now, with technology and social networks, huge proportions of the world have a means of recording, of filming, of capturing issues and inequalities around the world and delivering that to a global audience. So we're far more aware of some of these issues. And what we argue is that people, it's human nature, they want to do more. So we have to be innovative of thinking of and finding of ways to deliver that and fill that need.
On that specific point, obviously, as you mentioned, that this idea of a familiarity with global problems and with global challenges. And it's interesting you allude there to this idea also, though, that they're more engaged, millennials as a group, with the potential solutions too. I mean, is that driven by technology, or is that a broader shift in terms of how people prioritise what they want to make their wealth do for them?
I think it's a combination. So with the technology that we have today, like you said, millennials are leading the charge, but really the numbers show that everybody's getting more interested in this space. I mean, I think of myself, you know, like I use instant messaging, WhatsApp, et cetera, personally with my friends, you know, for a very number of years. But now my parents, and we have group chats with my parents and other relatives. So old generations are getting on board. I think they're seeing some of the innovation in this space, and they want to be involved with it as well. They see the benefit that they can have. They want to help build their legacy. And I think these means are just a new and innovative way that makes sense and resonates with people.
So, Chris, we're looking at it principally from the sort of millennial side of things, I guess. But also there are some important lessons, aren't there, in this white paper about the other stakeholders here who can unlock significant opportunities if they pay heed to some of the findings. And presumably that stretches out into the future as generations that follow the millennials also presumably also follow some of their other behaviours and patterns.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're really kind of saying between the lines is that the younger generations are always the drivers of the future of these trends. They just adopt change quicker. I mean, that's just a fact. And so they get older, so they are the ones that adapt it first. But it's not to say that the older generations don't adapt it. And so they do come on board. It just takes a couple of years longer. So what we're saying is, for today, for argument's sake, get millennials right, and the opportunity is far greater as the others follow.
Chris Wright, next to one of the report's co-authors. Simon Smiles is UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth. How will reading the report and taking on board the findings benefit the key stakeholders in this space?
The size of the wealth transfer, the increase in wealth and income, means that the millennials are a key customer for almost every industry, be it financial services and more broadly globally. So incredibly important to understand the new holders or guardians of capital. I think it's very important, though, to break out the true differences of this younger cohort and how they differ from older, more existing clients from the myths. As I said, there are a number of myths out there. So key to better servicing millennials is indeed, you know, technology and digital platforms and means of communication. And secondly, key to servicing this new cohort of consumers is greater focus on sustainability and the impact a company is having or an investment's having beyond the pure financial. However, both of those things aren't unique to millennials. So while businesses adapt to meet this new cohort of client, they'll also be improving their business to better service other aged clients. So if you will, the millennial augmenting one's business to better cater to millennials actually should derive broader business success at the same time.
And Simon, just a point on that idea of challenging stereotypes, and you mentioned that there has been quite a lot of typecasting, rather nearsighted typecasting. How much of a problem is that? And why do you think there is that? Is it a question of complacency from some stakeholders? Is it an unwillingness to look at what the pure data tells people? Why does that endure where it does?
Well, again, I think the assumption that millennials are uniquely narcissistic is just a mistake that continues to happen generation after generation. Older people tend to think younger people are more self-absorbed. It turns out as younger people age, they have many of the same characteristics of the previously older cohort. And yeah, this is probably best exemplified by a Time magazine cover a few years back referring to the millennial generation as the me generation. You then rewind back to the 70s, and there was a Tom Wolfe article in the New Yorker magazine which highlighted baby boomers as the me generation. Now, this is just a history or a cycle that continues to repeat. Is it lazy? No, I think, unfortunately, it's just, again, a normal approach from older people to the young of the day to stereotype them in such a manner. When it comes to, though, to the points on technology and also the greater focus on sustainability, I think those two aspects are actually relatively well accepted, or at least identified by many industries as being necessary preconditions to well servicing millennials. However, I'm not sure how much that notion has actually penetrated to date, you know, business models. It's much easier to identify technology and digital access and delivery as critical than to actually spend the money and make the necessary business changes to implement that.
And Simon, just a final point. It's interesting. It strikes me particularly as what you say there about the sort of cyclical nature of these developments. Does it mean that then future generations, we can start to look at how they themselves will presumably follow the millennials' lead in some of these areas?
I think so. I mean, history doesn't necessarily repeat, but it often rhymes. And technology being a great example here, going back to the baby boom generation, it was not as though technology wasn't around, nor was it that the baby boomers, when young, were relatively fast adopters of the technology of the day. We might have been talking about a Walkman versus a iPhone today, but the trends of greater penetration and earlier adoption among the young who've come to adulthood surrounded by the technology of the day is hardly new. We just currently live in a time of rapid technological, and arguably more rapid technological advance when it comes to particularly, you know, the digital side of businesses and society than we have in the past. And hence it seems more extreme, but the underlying trend of young people adapting to change and technology are faster than older people in society is, you know, very, very common over not just the last 10 years or 20 years, but the last, you know, centuries.
So embracing the pace of technological change then, and misperceptions about that, has a long history. How much of a problem are such false assumptions, these stereotypes? Do they skew the prism through which other stakeholders view millennials? Chris Wright, again.
I think it is a problem. I think people can write off this generation as, you know, never being able to afford to buy a home, for example. Reality is, like I said, they are inheriting huge sums of wealth. They're coming into peak earning years. They are more entrepreneurial. There is money, a lot of money coming into this generation. So if you ignore it as not a threat or not an area to focus on, then you'll be disrupted.
A final thought from Simon Smiles on the broader takeaway from this report. In particular, what it tells us about exactly why UBS is committing so much time and resources to sustainable and impact investing.
First of all, millennials are going to become a key part of our client base very, very soon, and they do show a much greater interest and willingness to engage with both sustainable and impact investments. But while millennials show the greatest appetite for these investments, it's an appetite which is growing more broadly across our wider client base. Hence, you know, any wealth manager that does not focus critically on its sustainable impact offering and try to evolve and improve to meet growing customer needs is going to fall behind.
And last word to Chris Wright, considering banks and capital broadly, and how the learnings from this report suggest they must look increasingly to human capital.
Traditionally, banks had been sitting in the centre, focusing on matching the surplus of capital with those that need it and focusing on the financial capital. But what we're suggesting in this paper is that they should also look at human capital and trying to connect where there is a surplus human capital with people that demand that human capital. So that's where you can create positive network effects, you know, within a company where you have a very interesting and diverse client base.
And that's Chris Wright bringing us to the end of this 143rd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.